Okay, we are in the middle of Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is Tein Chelik L'Shivagam L'Shmona Kilo Seida Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis Tein Chelik L'Shivagam L'Shmona Kilo Seida. A person does not know Ma Yihye Ro'o Al Haaretz. So just to recap from yesterday, we learned the parish of the Mitzudos. He tells us this pasuk is a continuation from the previous pasuk of Shlach Lach Mecha. It's a continuation of the theme, of giving tzedakah. That a person should give tzedakah even to people that to whom he has no expectation will reciprocate. People, many times, the only reason why they give is because they expect to receive something in exchange. Maybe not now, but maybe to develop some goodwill. And down in the future, you have an expectation to get something back in exchange. So the Pasuk said, Pasuk Aleph says, you should give without having any expectation to get something in the future. And this Pasuk elaborates and says, give to seven needy people who come to you, and give even to the eighth person. Even the, you think that once already I've given to all the people I need to give to, there's no need I should go give again. No, nevertheless, you should give even to the eighth person. Rashi says something similar. Rashi says give to seven people. And even if you have eight more people who are lining up to receive tzedakah, give to them as well for a grand total of 15 people. Okay. It's interesting, the 15, what's 15? This is a little bit of a drush. Rashi says, give to seven, and give to another eight, for a grand total of 15. What is the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis? Samach. Samach is the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis. What is a Samach? A Samach is a circle. It means infinite. You should give, never, it should never come to an end. Your giving should be like a circle.
It's not a cap.
What?
There's no cap. There's no top.
No cap, right. This is a drush. Give to seven, and then give to another eight, for a grand total of 15. What is the significance of the Chazal about the number 15? It's a samach, like two ba'av. There's a lot of drush on a two ba'av. Lo ha'yu yom tov lishol, ki yom ha'kippurim, the two ba'av. Two ba'av means the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis. Av is Aleph Beis. And what did they do on two ba'av? They went out and they danced in a circle. Because 15 is a drush. It's a drush. There is some deeper meaning to this, obviously. Well, mem is a square. A mem sofis is really more of a square. But a samach is a circle. So here, al derech drush is give to seven. According to Rashi, give to another eight for a grand total of 15. Significance, the symbolism of 15 is the letter samach. And samach means that your giving should be without a cap. As you said, Mr. Marillus, it should be infinite. Like a circle is infinite. There's no limit. Keep on giving more and more again. Okay, then Rashi is so quoted.
The 15 steps to the base of Midrash.
Right. The number, every time you have the number 15 in Chazal, the number 15 in Chazal, there are 15 Shir Hamalois, there are 15 steps in the base of Hamigdash. So every time you come across number 15, you have to analyze what is the deeper meaning, what a Chazal, deep meaning of that number 15. If you want to work with this approach, that 15 is the world was created, the building blocks of creation are the letters of the Aleph base. You cannot deny that Chazal. 15, 22, or really 22 or 27 letters of building blocks of creation. And every time you have a number, the number always has to be looked at in terms of the elements of creation. Elements of creation, the element number 15 is Samach. What is Samach? So what does Samach represent? Samach is one of the letters of the Aleph Beis that is Oymed Beneis. It represents the infinite, the circular, the circuitous. There's a lot of symbolism in a circle. Who invented the wheel? Who's the one who invented the wheel? The Ribbono Shel Olam invented the wheel with the letter Samach. He gets credit for inventing the wheel, and the letter that's so. Therefore, there is something, and it's a cute little drush of give your portion to seven and give to another eight. Remember, this only works according to Rashi, because according to the Mitzudos, when it says eight does not mean to another eight; it means to number eight. You know, it's like in Parshas Lech Lecha. For 14 years, I wanted to talk about this yesterday. We learned about Rashi for 14 years. For 13 years, they served. They served the four kings and the five kings. For 14 years, they served one king, and then for 14 years, they rebelled. So Rashi That's a very important Rashi. It's one of the classic Rashis, where Rashi makes it clear that don't learn pshat in the pasuk that in the 14th year they rebelled.
Right.
It means they rebelled for 14 years. 13 years, they served. And then what happened in 14? Was it in the 14th year that they rebelled? Or is it mean they rebelled for 14 years? So Rashi is mechadish. It means, pshat in the pasuk means they rebelled for an additional for 14 years. You have to look in the other parashah that they agreed to this.
It's 12 and 13, and then they came in the 14th.
Okay, 12, I'm sorry. Right, 12 they served, 13 years they rebelled, and then in the 14th year of the rebellion, then bokidul oimer vahamalach masharito. Correct. 12 years they served, for 13 years they rebelled, and in the 14th year of their rebellion. But that's only, we only understand that based upon Rashi's interpretation, because if you're not for Rashi, there's a possibility to learn Shan the Pasuk that for 12 years they served, in the 13th year they rebelled, and in the 14th year, Bo Kidola Omer, and the four kings went to take revenge, to wage war against the five kings. Okay, so I just, that point is triggered when I learned this pasuk, and you see the difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. It says Tein Chelik L'Shiva V'Gam L'Shmona. According to the Mitzudos, give tzedakah to seven people. Seven captures the concept of give the most amount you can possibly give. V'Gam L'Shmona, give to the eighth person also. Give a little bit more. I've already given tzedakah to seven people, give to the eighth. But according to Rashi, it doesn't mean that. It means give tzedakah to seven people. And when you think you've closed up shop, you're not finished. Give tzedakah to another eight people for a grand total of 15 people. Okay, now, then we learned Rashi told us a couple of interesting midrashim. Rashi told us that seven also refers to the 7 days of Shabbos, and eight refers to Mila. We mentioned those two concepts, Shabbos and Mila, are very significant with regard to tefillin. The Chazal tell us the reason why we do not wear tefillin on Shabbos is because tefillin is an ois, bris Mila is an ois, and Shabbos is an ois. We all need to have two osos, two signs, because osos serve as testimony that we are observant, that we are close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So once we have two, it's good enough. So it's interesting that we connect over here these two together, the seven and the eight, Shabbos and Bris Mila. Now I saw in the Sadasi Hamedinos, he cites a commentary that says the significance of Shabbos and Mila, the reason why they're grouped together is because they both involve sacrifice. They both involve giving up of yourself. Shabbos, we don't work. Shabbos is an opportunity to make good money on Shabbos. But Torah says, Shabbos rest. You have to give up, you have to sacrifice from potential income that you can bring in order, in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bris Mila is the same idea. Bris Mila, we give up of ourselves. We give away part of our body, Kava Yachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sacrifice the Eiver for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving blood and removing the foreskin, and which reduces a person's sense. Taiva, Rambam says, through the Bris Mila, a person has less pleasure in Yonei Ishus than he would otherwise have. It takes away some of the nerves, some of the sensors in that part of the body, which diminishes a person's taiva. So you're giving up from the pleasure that you can have in this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a Bris Mila, similar to what you give up potential income on Shabbos by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, these two things are grouped together. Okay. Now, let's see the Targum. The Targum over here says something that we're going to see over here, Targum, that this Targum is unique in all the Targum that we've learned so far in Sefer Koheles, that I've never seen such a comment in the Sfarasi Bamadinos, that the Targum is so bizarre that many suggest there's a mistake in the Targum. Okay, how often do you hear someone say that? There's a tos hatfus. What does the Targum say? Have, give, chulok tov min zara lechakloch lechaklok b'tishrei. So first of all, when it says the number seven, the Targum says corresponds to the seventh month of the year. What is the seventh month of the year? Tishrei. Now let me set you up. What's the eighth month of the year? Cheshvan. What's the ninth month of the year? Today is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Really, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first day of Kislev, but today is Rosh Chodesh, the ninth month. So when it says now, Tein Chelik L'Shem, before we even read what it says, and it's Rashi, right away, the Targum says that you should go and plant. when is the planting season? So we are now familiar with agriculture. It depends on what type of crop, depends where you live, so on and so. But it's very popular that they would plant in Chodesh Tishrei. We more associate Tishrei with the harvest, the Chag HaAsif in the Torah, the time of harvest. But it appears that it was also a time to seed. You seed the field. So the person should go and prepare the early crop. The early crop is plant seeds in Chodesh Tishrei. Have chulak a portion tov min zara lechaklach b'tishrei lechaklach means to your farm, right? To your field. Chaklach means your field, your soda. Plant, apply a portion of seed to plant in your field. B'tishrei in the seven is a code for Tishrei. V'lo tismina, and do not hold back. Mizra af bekislev, and you also should plant in the later season, which is seemingly what it says here. Lishmoina, shmoina is kislev, shmoina is cheshvoin. We skipped a month, okay? So how in the world did the Targum say shmona match up shmona with kislev? When we're dealing with planting, and it refers to Chodesh Cheshvoin. Okay, so that's a different Jewish. In the Chanam, he brings that down. That's a whole different Mahalach. That's a little bit of a Jewish, which is a little bit interesting that the Targum would even allude to that, because the miracle of Hanukkah was really way off the radar of I don't know how to what degree. Is it was really way off the radar of Hanukkah when the Targum Yonas Ben Uziel wrote the parish on the psukim? Does he allude to Chanukah in the psukim? I'm sure he does here and there. Must be, but it's interesting. Okay, we'll come back in a moment. But Tish Kisa. So the only interpretation he really gives is explained is that the reason why he said was because when you have the late season, even though the late season it begins in Cheshvan, it extends into Kislev. It's a process. You don't just. It's a one day, Veterans Day. Okay, you go and that's it, it's over. It's a process. It's a season. The season begins towards the very end of Cheshvan, and the bulk of the planting, the late bulk, is in Kislev. So in order to use the term which people are familiar with, so he said Kislev. But really it means the eighth month, as it says in the pause, because you begin already the planting for the late season towards the very end of Chodesh Cheshvan, which will be today. Today is the last day of Chodesh Cheshvan. So it's very appropriate that we learn this pasuk today. It really touches upon...
Did you say the seventh pocket is... from Rosh Hashanah until Hanukkah is still...
Okay, that's a different Jewish. Ein Hanami, we'll discuss that in a few moments. But let's first read what it says in the Targum. The Targum says 7 is Tishrei. And we're not discussing giving tzedakah. We're not discussing Shabbos and Bris Milah. He's saying something very simple, very unusual for the Targum. The Targum is usually the type that likes to go and say more of the esoteric and the Kabbalistic and the Medrash. But here he says...
It's a mistake because he said something.
No, because he says Kislev. He's saying that it would be practical when it comes to make parnasa, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Plant an early season and plant a late season. You don't know which one will succeed. V'los sismina milizra af bekislev, even in kislev, arum los sinda. You have no way of knowing mayehe bisho alara. You don't know when a bad occurrence, if the stock market will crash in Tishrei, or the stock market will crash, or it won't rain. Bad things will happen during a part time of the year, and you do not know which crop will bring you more benefit. I charifei, charifei nitzchon, that means the early crop, the charif, it comes in early, will be successful. I afti lei, or the late crop. Okay, now.
We mentioned yesterday from the Leibur that Shiva is Yimei Chag Sukkos, and Shmoina is Shmini Atzeres. So Shmini Atzeres, we mentioned it, because that's when you ask for Geshem.
On 7 and 8 is Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Okay, so we didn't mention it yesterday. We mentioned Rashi. Rashi said that the 7 is Pesach, And the eight is the complete Sukkos. Sukkos includes, right? Sukkos really 7 days, but what the Torah does call the Yom HaShmini. So both of these, we mentioned what's the connection, what happened to the end of Shavuos, where did that get mentioned? So first of all, I discovered yesterday that you could say Shavuos was in the previous Pasuk. Shlach Lach Necha.
Right.
There are many Midrashim that say it's the Lechem, it's the Shtei HaLechem.
Yeah.
The Bloimer says it? Okay, I saw that yesterday. It says Shlach Lach Mos. That's really alluded. Then now we have Shavuos. And now in this Pasuk we have the 7 and the 8, Pesach and Sukkot. But we mentioned yesterday that on a simple level is that the Shavuos is the Peiros for Elon. The similarity between Pesach and Sukkot is Geshem and Tevuah. Tevuah, grain, its success depends primarily upon the rain, upon the Geshem. So these two go hand in hand. That a person should bring the Korbanos, should concentrate to bring the Korbanos on Pesach, because on Pesach the world is judged on the Tvuah Sa'aretz, and a person should concentrate to bring the Korbanos correctly or be mispalel correctly on Sukkos, because on Sukkos we are judged on Mayim, and the Tvuah are totally zeh bezeh, they go hand in hand. What about fruits? That's the previous pasuk. That's another approach. So you're saying another approach is Shiva is the 7 days of Sukkos, and the Shmona is Shemini Atzeres, and on these times you should concentrate, because this what happens during these 8 days. The whole year depends on. We shake the Dalad Minim on Sukkos in order to prevent Ruchos Ra'os, evil winds, which can cause harm to the crop. And on Shmini Atzeres, we are Mispalul for Geshem. So it's a combination of Ruach. Geshem needs Ruach. The two go together. Wind with Geshem is a winning team, which provides sustenance for the world. And that's why those two come together. That's what he says from the Loimer. Okay, Rav Meir touched upon something interesting. And Rav Nechemya also touched upon the same idea. Is someone to say that the Shiva refers to Chodesh Tishrei, and when the Targum says 8, okay, the Targum is a different approach, but eight refers to Taka Kislev because of the Shmoinas Yenei Chanukah. And what it basically means is, as we discussed this, is that the Gzar Din is not complete until Zos Chanukah.
That's often say Shlomo lived before Chanukah.
Right. Okay. So this is Shlomo, but this is the Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, the Targum. You understand? That's what we discussed yesterday. What's the Medrash? We learned yesterday when we discussed Rashi. We learned yesterday when we discussed what was his name? Roy Bachner. What was his name? The name of the Sefer Rashi. Mystery, the magic. So we discussed what is the essence of a Medrash. Banshek.
Yeah.
The essence of a medrash most of the time, not all the time, is to read into the pasuk an event that has not yet happened. How far do we want to go? Well, in Yeshaya, we go to Yemos HaMashiach. We talk about Yemos HaMashiach, that's clear. Okay.
Because it's prophecy.
Prophecy. So, Koheles, what...
I find that generalization hard to understand when it comes to Chumash, for example, which is not mostly prophecy.
No, why would you say that? It is prophecy. Okay, well, let's leave it with that. Whatever. But this is an idea that he throws out, and he says that more often than not, it's very true, is that the Medrash breathes into the Pasuk events that have not yet occurred. If we can refer to events that have not yet occurred in reference to Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, Allah Haskam Vakama, we can refer to an event that occurred during the time of the Bayis Sheni, in the middle of the Bayis Sheni, 200 years into the Bayis Sheni was the miracle of Chanukah. So it's telling over here is that since with Chanukah, we know Chanukah is the Shmona Simei Chanukah, and Chazal tell us that to some degree the Gezar Din is not complete until Chanukah. A person always has a window to do tshuva, to hold back a gzera roch chas v'shalom until Chanukah. So it's telling you tein chelik l'shiva. When it comes Chodesh Tishrei, Shiva is a code word for Chodesh Tishrei. Shape up, do tshuva. The Oisek in the Avod of the Yerachoy Sonim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, the Gam L'Shmona, and also maintain that degree of Kiddusha all the way through the Shmoyna Asimei Chanukah. We have a lot of gematrias, remember we're with Nitzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, all the various numbers from the Gzar Din, until the Gzar Din goes all the way until the 8th, till the Chav, until the last day of Chanukah. Okay, that's another idea. Right, the amount of psukim in the Tzav, Vayelech, Hazinu, and the Zoyis HaBrocha corresponds to Elul, until Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah, and then till Chanukah. Okay, then we have another idea, another beautiful medrash, Tein Chelik L'Shiva. Shiva refers to the 7 days of Nida. And Bizman Hazeh, obviously the laws of Nida are very different because Noshim Amach Miros Al Atzman, if they see a Tipa Stam, they are Choshesh, that they are Zava. So the rules, the 7 days really turn into a lot more than 7 days. But in that Torah, a woman is a nida, potentially a nida for 7 days. 7 days of nida. If a woman will be nizhar in the laws of nida, which are the 7 days of nida, then the gam l'shmona, she will marry to have a baby boy and have a bris milah on the 8th day. This is what it says in the Medrash Rabbah. A very nice idea. To the giving some encouragement to be nizhar in Taharas HaMishpacha. Okay, then there's another very interesting idea. This is a little bit of a stretch. This stretch is who offered the korbanos on the Yimei HaMiluim. When the Mishkan was inaugurated, Bahi Bayoim HaRishon Nasi Levnei Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav. Then the second day was, who was the second day? Reuven or whatever it was. Shimon. The Chulu, who offered the carbon on day 7? Ephraim. Who offered the carbon on day 8? Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe, where do they come into Klal Yisrael? Ephraim and Menashe, they're really only grandchildren. They're not from the Shiftei. The Shiftei call was Yosef. So how did Yosef, what happened to Yosef? Yosef turned into Ephraim and Menashe. So Shlomo HaMelech is coming to be Mechazek. No one should dare question the legitimacy of there being two Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe. Tein chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. Just like in the Torah, when they offered the korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan, the Torah gave them chashivus, and in the chalukah of the land, Ephraim and Menashe each have their own portion in Eretz Yisrael, and no one should make a mistake and think that we should take away their portion and we just give one portion to both together, Yosef, because they both come from Yosef. No, the Torah gave them a portion of land, each one separately. The Torah gave each one the right to offer a carbon on their separate day. Okay, so likewise, he's just been mechazek tein chelik. Make sure you always give Ephraim and Menashe what they deserve. Don't treat them like second-class citizens because they're only grandchildren and they're not children. Okay, now there's another idea. There's this discussion in the Gemara if Menashe has a chelik in Olam Haba. Menashe was one of the worst kings that existed. He was the grandson of Chizkiyahu, and was the son of Chizkiyahu, and he went back to the way of his grandfather for Achas, and he was king, I think, for 55 years, and he put Klal Yisrael on a derech that was irreversible. He, even though he did tshuva for a significant number of years, the end of his life, for something like 23, 25 years, he did tshuva, it was too little, too late. He already put Klal Yisrael on a path of Avodah Zarah, which could not be reversed, not even by Yoshiyahu. Amon, his son that came after, was even worse. But when Yoshiyahu came and he tried to reverse the tide, it was too little, too late, because the one that really gets the credit was Menashe. And the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says that Menashe has no chelek la'olam haba. And then the Gemara has a discussion: is it really so? There's not everyone agrees. He does have a chelek. So Shlomo HaMelech, you know, it's the Zayda. The Zayda is always looking to Melame and Zechus on the Einik. Look, David said about his own son. Oh, the Gemara wanted to say he also doesn't have a chelek. So therefore, you know, we're all in the same category. Just like I'm not going to tolerate this, that I don't have a chelek, so too by Enikol Menashe, he's also coming with me. He's also going to go. So Menashe is the 7. Because Menashe, I'm sorry, that is the Shmona. That is That is the eighth one. Menashe is the code, number eight is a code for Menashe. Because since the Torah on the Yimei HaMiluim, it says on day seven was Ephraim. Vahi b'yom ha-shvi nasi levnei Ephraim, was Ephraim. On day eight was Menashe. So eight, it's a little bit of a stretch, but that's what it says here. Day eight, when it says the number eight, eight is a code for Menashe. Not Shevet Menashe, not Shevet Menashe, but Menashe, this enakel of Shlomo HaMelech. It's a stretch, but...
It's pretty far down.
Which generation was he? Maybe it was the eighth generation.
Was he eight? No, he was more. Well, he was, what?
And Mishnah.
Are the same letter.
Oh, that's good.
Menashe and Shlomo. Oh, okay, very good. So it's even better. It's even better.
Neshama and Mishnah.
Shmona is Mishnah, yeah. Shemena, it's also fattest. Neshama. May Osher Shemena Lachma. Okay. Okay, so we have over here Menashe. Shmona is the same letters as Menashe. Excellent. And also Shmona, to enhance this idea, is also a code in Chazal for Shevet Menashe. Shevet Menashe. So we can just very liberally drop the word Shevet and say it's a code for Menashe. That's what it says here. I'm not making this up. And therefore it's saying that he has a chela, give him a portion where? In Olam Haba, together with someone else who is a very evil doer, Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat comes from Shevet Ephraim.
Right.
And the whole Klal Yisrael, the ten Shvatim were called Al Shem Ephraim. Habein Yaker Li Ephraim. Why is Klal Yisrael called Ephraim? Because the majority of Klal Yisrael was under the authority of the Malchus Yisrael, which was founded by Yeravam ben Nevat from Shevet Ephraim. So Yeravam ben Nevat is obviously a very wicked person, but Shlomo HaMelech looks for the nitzitz, the spark of good in every person, and even though we do not know how these things work, people died, people suffered, you know, no one's getting a free pass in Olam Haba. It's not like this world, Olam Haba, where everything is overlooked. There's din v'cheshev of everything, but he's saying tein chelik. Shlomo is saying, give a chelik of olam haba, at least a chelik to l'shiva, to that person, that famous person that will come from Shevet Ephraim, who misled Klal Yisrael, caused Klal Yisrael to go astray, Yerav Ben Avot, and gam l'shmona, and also give a chelik to olam haba to Menashe, who is hinted to in the word Shemona.
Was a contemporary of Shlomo.
Yeravam ben Nevat was after Shlomo died. It was Rechavam. I mean, Shlomo must have known him. Shlomo must have known who he was, because if after Shlomo died, Rechavam, and that didn't take that long to Rechavam. So you're right, he must have known who he was.
Yeah, he did, because he flew from Shlomo.
Yeravam ben Nevat? He did?
I'm not sure. Shlomo, he went to Egypt.
Yerav ben Nevat, we fed from, yeah, okay. So he's saying, Tein chilek l'shiva gam l'shmona, ki lo yiseida ma yiyera al oretz. How does the end apply? I don't know. He doesn't really explain how the end connects to the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, another very nice idea. This is a very beautiful idea. This comes from, it's from the Chidah. I think this comes from the Chidah. It's a very nice idea, is that a person should chelik apply himself for seven. What is seven? Seven means the first 70 decades. The first 70 decades of your life, you shall apply yourself. Whose yahrzeit is today, our mayor? Whose yahrzeit? Whose yahrzeit is today? Oh, Rosh Chodesh. Ah, okay. Machmir, okay. Tein chelek l'shiva is a person should work on himself for 70 decades. Not 77. You want to live that long? You really want to live that long? 70 decades? Apply yourself for 7 decades. L'shiva. For 7 decades, work on yourself. Accomplish something. Be a better person. Now, if a person succeeds, as he reaches the age 70, oh, I made it. I'm 70 years old. I'm a tzaddik. I was never, Baruch Hashem, I was never arrested. It's no joke. Believe me, it's no joke. 70 years old, I got clean. No one wrote anything bad about me online. Impossible. But 70 years old, I clean slate. I made it. I could celebrate. No. Don't put your guard down. Gam lishmona. In your 8th decade, you better be on guard, because things can go wrong in the eighth decade as well. And who is the proof? Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik kol yomav. He was a Kohen Gadol his entire life. And when he was 80 years old, he went off to Derech. He became a tzaddik. He became a tzaddik. They got to him. Why? So they say you shouldn't be afraid, because he was really a tzaddik in the beginning. That's what they say, that he was really in the beginning of his life he had an upbringing that was questionable, and then he straightened himself out. So it's not unheard of that if Chas Hashem he would go back to his old ways because of this very his roots were. All right, it's not so simple either. But basically, he's telling you a person can never let himself off guard, even for one moment. Even when you think you're safe, you don't know what's going to happen. Even at the end of the life, in the 8th decade, which is Bigvuros Shmonim Shana, that's the Spitz until you reach the year 99, then you're okay. When you're 90, it's smooth sailing. I went yesterday to Menachem Avil, a person who's 98 years old. His wife was Nifter. I don't think I ever saw a husband so distraught. So he's real, in a real, real state of mourning. 98 years old. And it's unbelievable. It's very heartbreaking to see this. But it's interesting. The person 98 years old is a whole different type of person. A whole different world when you're coming in the presence. You know, it's hard to talk to him. He's in a different frame of mind. But Abel, he has very good moments. But tain chelik l'shiva, that's a very interesting idea from the Chidah. You have to be on guard all the way to the very end. Okay, let me just make sure we did not leave anything out from all the various interpretations of 7 and 8. Okay, he has other things here which I'm not going to say because I don't really understand what he means. Okay, I think we got it all. Okay, so these are all the various interpretations, too many of them to review, but it's quite a series of mahalchim of 7 and 8. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. I'll just tell you the pasuk gimel. Im yimalu ha'avim geshem al aretz. This is a continuation from the Mitzudos. This pasuk continues the theme. It's one of the short things I want to say before I conclude, because it's from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says that according to most of the commentators, tein chelik l'shiva gam l'shmona, it's a tzedakah. That's how we start. We start with the Mitzudos and with Rashi. Give to 7 people. Give to the 8th person. Give to another 8 people. That's the pashtus of the pasuk. So why does he use the word chelek? Chelek, he says, the word which means it's not yours. When a person is blessed with wealth, with more money than he needs, he should realize that he's just a guardian. It's not his money. He's just in possession of that money to give it to the people that are in need. Therefore, the Torah uses the word chelek. Chelek means give. It doesn't give a portion, meaning it's there. The word has a connotation. You're not giving your money. It's not yours to give. If Hashem blessed you with giving you more money than you need, you're just holding on to money that belongs to the poor. So give them what is rightfully theirs. And don't credit yourself and praise yourself that you've done anything special. That's how the Chofetz Chaim and Shad the Pasuk, why we use with chelek in regard to 7 and 8 in connection to the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Gimel. Im yimalu ha'avim geshem al aretz yoriku. Okay, so this is again the theme of giving tzedakah. If the clouds are filled with earth, you know, you have to read the words of the Pasuk pasuk a little bit with rain. With where you have the clouds are filled with rain, Yeriku, they pour out their rain. This is a reality. It's a mitzias. You have to read the words a little bit out of order. Im yimol im if the avim al haaretz. Let's try to read in that fashion. If there are clouds that are upon the earth, and well, I'll think about it. Let's read. Imimolu of Geshem, comma. Let's read. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. If the clouds are brimming with rain, dark, heavy, thick clouds, which are filled with rain, the reality is Al Haaretz Yoriku. It will flow upon the earth. The rain will fall upon the earth. So we'll see in a moment. The mashal is that a person has in his possession more money than he needs, more money than is necessary. He is compared to a cloud that is brimming with rain, and just like the rain, it flows out, overflows upon the earth. That's the instruction for what you should do. Don't hoard all this wealth for yourself. The wealth should overflow upon the earth. You should disperse it to the poor people who need the money. A person should be just like a cloud in heaven that is filled with rain. The imyipol, but on the other hand, imyipol hoetz badaron the imbat safon. Now, there's many interpretations. We'll just try to say one at the moment. If a tree falls down either in the south or in the north, makom sheyipol hoetz sham yuhu, wherever the tree falls, that's where it's going to remain, meaning no one could care less. Why? Because the tree is dead and the tree has nothing to offer. A tree, as long as it is alive and it produces peros, everyone is running to the tree, is taking pleasure in its shade, is watering the tree, is pruning the tree, is kissing the tree. Everyone is making brachos on the tree. You can't make brachos to Elon. Everyone loves trees. They love the environment. They love the trees. They only love the tree as long as the tree is alive and it is productive and is producing fruit. But once the tree falls down and collapses, no one could care less. Whether it falls in the north, in the south, when it's dead, it's dead. So what's the most? What is an ace according to most of the commentators? Ki ha'adam ace hasadeh. The ace here is the marshal to a person. If a person, when he is alive and he is producing peros, he's supposed to give of yourself, because once a person, Rahman al-Tzlan, is no longer here, the person has fallen and he's no longer here, then no one, you're not going to have any connection to people.
Could Rabbi have a nest egg for, say, a nursing home? You know.
Well, that's not a contradiction to this case. Let's see what the Mitzvah says. Yeah, of course. So let's see what the Mitzvah says. He elaborates on the end of the pasuk. A little bit difficult how he ties into the end of the pasuk. Let's see. There's a lot of nuances in the Mitzvah and the Rashi. The Mitzvah pasuk says, "Yimalu havim im ha'avim nismalu geshem." If the clouds are filled with rain, hinei lo yachziku li'atzam. What's the mitzias? The mitzias is, the reality is, the cloud does not keep the rain for itself. Rak yeriku v'yishpichu al pnei hadam. It pours out, overflows upon the earth. Umusav l'malu. What does this pasuk have to do with this parak? It's referring back to what it said in the pasuk, the two pasukim before. Loimar sheroyhu lechalik matan lizulos. A person should give from what he has to others. A person should give tzedakah. Just like she'avim ein machzikim ageshem liatzlum, just like the clouds do not retain the rain for themselves, v'yariku al aretz uvezeh tale haaretz adim lamala, and by doing so, now here's the point that he's coming to make. Here's the very interesting and novel idea: the tree by dispersing its rain is really helping itself. Because where are clouds form from? Clouds come from the Eid Yala Min Haaretz. A mist ascends from the earth. If there's no moisture on the earth, then there's no possibility for clouds to form. If the clouds take their water, their moisture, and they go out into the sea, and they dump it in the sea, guess what? There's not going to be any clouds in the future. Because in order for clouds to form over dry land, there has to be moisture on the dry land. So when the clouds are giving up of their wealth, of their water, they're really helping themselves. That's the theme of the Mitzudas, the last two psukim. That when you give tzedakah, you're really helping yourself, because ultimately every person will need to take. That's the way the world is. There are times when you give, and there are times when you need to take. Mida keneged mida. If you're not going to be a giver, then when the time will come for you to take, you're not going to find someone to give so that you can take. The cloud, when it gives away of its water, of its wealth to the earth, it's really helping itself. Because the only way new clouds can form is if there is moisture on the earth for which can be used to form a new cloud.
As you said, Rabbi, clouds form because of water vapor.
Sitting in? Right. This is the cycle, the water cycle. Water vapor. Kamosha, Ovim, Enamachzikim, Geshem, Liatsam, the Yikol, Aretz, Vizet, Hala, Aretz, Odim. And now new clouds, moisture, vapor will ascend. Lamala, Vinismale, Geshamim, Pam, Bipam. So you're really helping yourself when you give to others. What is the Musar? Cain likewise, Mishnah Smali Ba'oysher, a person that's blessed with wealth. Don't give money for yourself. Give away of the money to others, because by giving to others, you're really giving to yourself. The Oz Kasher Yitzarehu, when you will need, you will benefit, you will receive a shefa, you will be influenced by others. That's the first part of the pasuk.
He's describing the cycle of
the water cycle.
So,
tzedakah is the same.
There's a cycle
of tzedakah. Gilgul hachoyzer ba'olam. Anios, poverty, the Gemara says, is a gilgul hachoyzer ba'olam. It's a cycle in the world. In one generation, a family may be very wealthy, but in the next generation, Rachman al Sunday can be mechusar lechem. And they're going to need to come on to other people to help them, to give them parnasa. They're not going to be the ones that are giving parnasa, they're the ones who are needing parnasa. And if they have zuchus avos, that their predecessors, their ancestors, were the ones, when they had their wealth, they will behan other people in a dignified way, then their own descendants will also be supported in a dignified way later on. And that's Musar is learned from the clouds. If the clouds are going to hoard the water for themselves and go out to sea and just keep the water for themselves, then no new clouds will form upon the earth. But if they release their water upon the earth will be moist, there will be humidity, and that humidity will be the source of the formation of new clouds. And this cycle will repeat itself over and over again. Now we go to the second part, which is a little bit more difficult. If the tree falls down, eitz peri, odenotua vit to Kuabar, it's while a tree is planted and is firmly grounded in the earth, Bavur Shayitin Puri, as long as it's producing fruit, Yashkuhu, Vyavduhu, people will water it and they will tend to its needs. And when the tree collapses, it doesn't make a difference if it collapses in a civilized area or it collapses in the desert. It doesn't make a difference. That's where it's going to be. From no one's going to look at it. People will abandon it in its location. Okay, now what's the message? The message is uchoim. This means to say, Cain, mi she'ena mashpil lizulas, a person that does not support his friend, kishayavay e sheyitzdarechu. Now, when he needs others, lachem lo yifnu elav, he will be like the dead tree. He's not going to give. If he's not going to give away, he's not going to give away when he has what to give. It's not really, really, Mitzvah is not really, really satisfying, 100% the end of the pasuk, but this is what it says. I can't say more than what it says. It says that a person is not going to learn, if he's not going to learn from the clouds, he's not going to take the lesson from the clouds and give tzedakah, then he'll be like a dead tree. When his time will come, when he will be in need, doesn't mean he'll be dead. It means that he will be lying. He'll be vulnerable. He'll be lying in the Dodom and the Tzafon. No one's going to come to his assistance. That's really all he says. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi is a whole different interpretation. He learned this some more midrashic. Im yimalu ha'avim geshem, im reisa avim meleim geshem. If you see clouds that are filled with rain, yodata shesoifa shesoifam yariku gishmehem al aretz. Bimakam shatoiva soimeches v'nikeres. Yodata, you should know shesayfam and yuriku gishmim al aretz, that they ultimately will pour out their water upon the earth. B'mokoyim shatoyvet seimeches v'nikeres, in a place where good will blossom, v'nikeres sham, and it'll be noticeable there, over there. Sham seifa lenuach, that's where we'll rest. Af kein da. Okay, Rashi is coming to make a connection to the end of the pasuk, that wherever rain falls, bracha will come to that location. But he doesn't say this now. He says something different now. But let us make believe on our own. Maybe really we'll all right. Wherever rain falls, that location where the rain falls, blessing will rise. Okay, next part. Af kein da. You also should know, it seems that Rashi is saying the second half of the pasuk has really very little to do with the first half of the pasuk. It's an independent idea. Shem yipol eitz v'goymer. Now what does this mean? What is the conclusion of the pasuk? Eitz is a mashal for a tzaddik. A tzaddik, we're not just describing an ordinary person. An eitz, like a dead tree. We're discussing a tree that is a tzaddik. Likewise, there's some connection to the pasuk. The beginning, there is a connection. I made a mistake. There is a connection. Da shem yipol eitz v'goymer im yishkoim adam chacham v'tzadik bi'ir ay b'medina. If there's a tzadik that lives in a city or a country, makom sheyishkoim sham yihu near the masaf, the place where he lives, the place where the person falls, meaning after he dies, then that's like rain hitting the ground. Something blossoms. After the tzaddik leaves this world is first when you begin to appreciate, and the legacy of the tzaddik comes to the forefront. Shom yu nir nasaf achare moso, after he dies, so he has fallen. Now the chochmosof umidos tiru miyosof, his wise actions and his exalted character. His midos is the character. It's a very beautiful expression. Teru miyosaf, uplifted. His uplifted midos. By the way, one thing I forgot to mention yesterday when we learned about Rashi, one of the things that Rashi has done is he invented, like they I think the people have counted over 1,000 new Hebrew words. Rashi was an innovator in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew, the Hebrew, well, there are only a limited number of words in the Torah. How many words are there in the Torah? The only true words of the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, are words that appear in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and then by extension you can say in Nevi'im and Ksuvim to some degree, but not 100%. That's the core vocabulary. That's it. Those are the only real words. Everything else is invented, is a play on the word. Rashi took the core vocabulary and he took those shoroshim and he played with them and he invented new words. And in his writings, we come across over 1,000 new vocabulary words. That's a lot. 1,000 vocabulary words. The average person, how many words does the average person use in his vocabulary, a good speaker?
12,000.
12,000?
2,000.
No, it can't be 12,000.
There are 12,000 words.
What?
To use
in your vocabulary.
In everyday speech.
In everyday speech, how many words does a person use overall? There are statistics.
I think the average is like 500.
Right, it's a very small number. It's shocking how small the number is. We use on a daily basis. It's not a big number. Educated people.
Educated.
Intelligent people, how many words? It's not a large amount. Rashi invented 1,000 words by taking words. So here, this could be one of his words that he invented. Terumiyosaf comes from the word teruma. Doesn't say this word anywhere in Tanakh. This is a word that he invented. It means teruma. Teruma means to uplift. What do? Teruma?
You mean, you don't mean inventions out of nowhere. You mean extension. You mean
extensions, variations. He took a word that appears in the Torah. He made. So he has some examples of I don't remember some of the examples. I'm looking.
Like saying you're out to lunch.
So that's an expression. You're out to lunch is an expression. He has some examples, some words. Okay, I can't find it now. I don't know where it is. Okay, but Rashi. Okay, let's go further. But Rashi, but here, this is a very beautiful expression. Umidos tiromiosaf. His exalted character. The tashlam toiv liyoshu hamakoyim al minag tov, and the good things that he has done, and the reward, the tashlam tova, his conduct, the good things that he has done liyoshu hamakoyim to the people that live in his environment in the city, al minag toiv shedricham biderech yeshara, the good customs that he did, which guided his people to follow his behavior, a good derech yeshara, a good life, a proper path in life. So now the word yeshka, let's go one more. The finish Rashi, then we'll summarize. Yeshka means the yeshkain. Kamo al pnei chol echav nafal. It says that he will nafal. It means the word nafal. Sham. The pasuk here says him yipol. Yipol means to live. It says during that pasuk, who's it say that in reference to? Al it means he will live. Nafal means to literally to fall, but here it means to live. So Rashi is telling us that when it says here the word eitz means a tzaddik. A tzaddik is megan. The next Rashi, eitz is talmud chacham shemegan bezuchusoy. He protects in his merit ki eitz hamesich al aretz, like a tree provides shelter upon the earth. So Rashi, in summary, is telling us something very, very fascinating. That just like the reality is, when a drop of rain hits the ground, come back a week later, what are you going to see on that drop of ground? You're going to see a blade of grass. You're going to see a plant. You're going to see some growth. Some life has come in response to the drop of rain that has fallen on the earth. Likewise, when a tzaddik dies. So the tzaddik dying is equivalent to the rain hitting the ground. The rain hitting the ground, it's in the ground. It's underground. A tzaddik dying, the tzaddik is now underground. When the tzaddik dies, now people first begin to reflect upon the deeds, the conduct, the exalted character of the tzaddik, and they begin to learn from his ways, and things happen. Things change, society changes, they grow, they develop, they become better people, they become a better community. That's how Rashi connects the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk. So we read the whole pasuk in this already. It's just like we have a reality that if clouds are filled with rain, ultimately the rain falls, it overflows from the cloud and falls on the ground. So likewise, if the Yipol, here he's saying if he lives, if Yishkoim, if a tzaddik, wherever the tzaddik lives, whether he lives in the Dom or the Tzafon, Mekoim Sheyipol, Ha'etz, in the place where Sheyipol, which is, Rashi also translates where Sheyipol means where he dies, Shom Yuhu, there it will be his influence. Just like the rain, Yoriku, it will pour out, and from whatever pours on the ground, it will grow, develop good things. As Rashi Gimli said, it's going to blossom. It's going to blossom. Tzoyneches v'nikeres. Something will blossom, and it will be noticeable in the place where the rain falls. It's the same exact idea. The place where the tzaddik lives and dies, in that location, it will blossom, blessing to the people of that community. Now let's take a look at the Targum on this Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. imimalu in mismalyon ananaya mitralara, if rain falls upon the earth, ma'oran yos meimhon begins zuchus de tzadika. You know why it happens? It's only in the zuchus of the tzadikim. If you find the situation is eating quite a bit to the pasukim, you should know your riku. The only reason why you're going to have a situation where it's going to rain is only is because you live in a community where there are tzaddikim and their merits going to rain. The is the in less zechu bedara hahu. What happens if there are no tzaddikim in that generation? There's no zechus. So guess what happens? The rain does not fall upon the fields. Instead, Hashem sends the clouds out into the sea, and the rain is deposited there in a place where no one derives benefit. Biyama, in the sea, uvimad bera, in the desert, nochason, that's where the rain falls. Delo yishanoin minhon b'nei enosha, no human being derives benefit. So that's the first thing. The first part of the pasuk, Yimolu ha'ovim geshem ala aretz yoriku. I don't know, he's eating quite a bit of the pasuk. If you do see a situation when the rain does fall upon the earth, you should know it's only in the merit of tzaddikim. Next part of the pasuk, the is gezar min shemaya limin pal malka. If you have a situation where there's a gzemin hashem that the melech here is the eighth is the leadership, and the yo'atohi min siraruson. If you find that the king and his yoatzim, the word yoatohi means his advisors, they are removed from their authority, you should know min kadam memra deshmaya havei. It's a decree from heaven they should be deposed. Sivos v'chafna bidroma. And if he's famua,
we have the e.
I'm missing the e sivos. I don't have it. The e sivos v'chafna bidroma. O bitzipuna. And if you, another example, and if you find that there is sova, siva means satisfaction, or chas v'sholom, there is famine, bidroma, or bitzafon, in the north or the south, the place, the iskaz, asar, the place, the iskazar le iskayama, the place where it was decreed that it should be, he ate that advice, that counsel, that gezerah, there should be soiva or famine. Tamon mish talcha limheve. That is where Hashem dispatches his gezerah to fall. So the review of the pasuk is the first part of the pasuk according to Targum is we're dealing over here with Yimolu ha'avim geshem ala aretz. Yimolu ha'avim geshem ala aretz yoriku. If it's meant to be bracha, it's only because of the merit of the tzaddikim. Then Yipol eitz, he says, there's a new statement. He's adding really so much into the pasuk. I don't know, there's not so easy how to break up the pasuk. The eitz refers to the authority. If the authority of the country has been removed, or Badaroim v'imbat sofoin, if there is famine or plenty in the Dodim or the Tzafon, Mikoim sheyipol ha'et sham Yehu, the place where Hashem wants the Gezerah to reach, that's where the Gezerah will reach. Now, I don't really, the Eitz, maybe he means the Eitzah. I think what the Targum means, when he translates the word ha'etz at the end of the pasuk, Mokom shipol ha'etz sham yuhu, it appears he takes the word eitz and interprets it similar to the word eitzah. Eitzah is counsel. Because that's what he says with his last words. Asar de isgizar le'iskayamo ha'hi eitoh. The place where it was meant to be fulfilled, this advice. Which advice? Hashem's advice. Hashem's counsel. Hashem's decision. Hashem will dispatch to that location the gezerah to be. Okay. Before we conclude, just want to make sure... Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. I don't have anything here. Let's go to the next pasuk. Just to begin the next one, we have another minute. One more pasuk. I want to really try to cover some ground. Pasuk Dalit. Shaymer ruach lo yizra v'roye ve'avim lo yiktsar. Okay, this begins now a new theme. It talks about procrastination, a new theme. A person should never procrastinate. If you want to guard the ruach lo yizra, when is it a good time to plant? Well, the winds have to be blowing in the right direction. If you're going to live like that and wait for the winds to blow in the right direction, you'll never plant. If you look at the clouds, lo yiktsar, you will never harvest. I'm waiting for the clouds to be just right, which should be ideal for harvest. You'll never plant. Mitzudos, pasik dalid, shoyme ruach hamantin bezriya sadeu ad bo haruach till the wind comes, ki oz toiv lezor, then it's good to plant, ki haruach yifazer b'chol mokam, because the wind will cause the seed to disperse to all locations, lo yizra, pon mamtin ve'in abo, if you'll procrastinate, you'll never do anything. V'roi be'avim, ha'noisin einav be'avim, the clouds, ch'shoroi oysam kaidrim, you see they get dark, yore liktsar, you're afraid to harvest, v'bnei ha'geshamim, ze lo yiktsar liyon, you'll never harvest, l'fish sh'yore tamen, you're always in the state of fear. Rashi, kush Rashi, yishon ha'ruach, mamtin mitzap ad bo ha'ruach, lo yizra pa'amim, mamtin ve'in abo, will never come. V'roi be'avim, noisin einav be'avim, ch'shoroi oysam kaidrim, you see they get dark, yore liktsar, you're afraid to harvest, v'bnei ha'geshamim, v'lo'olim lo yiktsar, l'fish Shayari Tamid, Kesu Rashi, and the Mitzvah are very similar, both saying exactly the same thing. The person is going to procrastinate, you'll never accomplish anything. Targum Pasuk Dalid, Givar, a person, Dinoter Charoshin, Vikusmin Lo Yove Tov Liolam, a person that guards. Now here's a whole new interpretation. Okay, the Ruach, according to the Targum, is now referring to the wind, and we're now referring to planting. We're referring to Ruach of Tumah, a person that's afraid of the magicians and witchcraft and Koiches of Kishuf will never, Lo Ye'ave Tov L'Olam, will never, Yisrael will never accomplish anything with his life. Everything you do, you're always superstitious. You're superstitious that today is not an auspicious day because the palm reader told me not to do this, not to do that. The horoscope, Udimistakal b'mazolos, same thing, the person goes roi be'ovim, the clouds, meaning if you look in the mazolos, you look into the stars, the clouds, the reference to looking to Shemayim, lo yimagber agar, you're not going to make money. If you're going to always go look into the mazolos, you'll never achieve anything. Arum charoshin nislin l'rucho, d'lo mitfas bido devar ne'nash, because charoshin, witchcraft, is compared to, you know, he explains, because witchcraft is compared to wind, which does not have any substance, cannot be grasped in your hand. When it blows outside in the wind, can you take the wind and put it in your hand and grasp it? Impossible. Witchcraft has no substance. And if you're going to live your life based upon witchcraft, you're going to go nowhere. And the end of the pasuk, umazalaya, and looking into the stars, mazal, mislim is compared la'anoni to cloud shemaya, the ozen of losiyavim, which go and never come back. Mazel is something which just passes, like clouds. What? Fleeting. It's fleeting. So it's also is something which has no substance. So here we have a new interpretation. Don't live your life based upon mazel. Okay, just a short var, Shem Ruach, a short var, for conclude with one var, Shem Ruach means that some people, they say they're not going to go daven, I'm just not in the mood. I don't have the inspiration. I'll daven, I'll do mitzvahs, I will do things only when a spirit of inspiration comes upon me. The pasuk says, you live your life like that, you're only going to go daven on days when you feel good. Shomer ruach, if you're waiting, you're anticipating. Shomer means to anticipate. The aviv shomer es adover lo yizra, you'll never plant seeds of spirituality. The roye ve'ovim, and if you're always looking at the cloud, in other words, you have what's it called, fog in your head. It's called, it's an expression, you have a brain fog. Brain fog, meaning that you can't think clearly. I'm not going to learn daf today, I can't go to daf yomi. My mind, I have brain fog. It's an expression, it's because it's an illness, there's the medications for brain fog. I have brain fog. What? Medications for what?
That
cause brain fog. So the person, I'm not going to go to the shir today because I have brain fog, then lo yiktsar, you'll never accomplish anything. You will never harvest. It's a very powerful pasuk. A person has to have a routine, whether whether you're feeling good or you're not feeling good, whether you're in the mood to daven, whether you're not in the mood to daven, whether you're in the mood to learn a daf gemara, whether you're not in the mood to learn a daf gemara, you have to stick to the routine no matter what and hope for the best. If you're going to live your life shomer ruach, I'm waiting for the inspiration, the ruach hakodesh to come down upon me, lo yizra, you'll never plant those seeds of spirituality. V'roya be'avim, I'm looking at the brain fog in my head, lo yitzar, you will never accomplish, you'll never reap the benefits of studying Torah. Powerful art. Yeah.
He says, I mean, I believe in God, same as you do, but I don't understand why I have to do all these things. I don't need to do it. I believe in God. If that's the attitude, that's...
You'll never accomplish anything. You'll never accomplish. So,